Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a Booze Dancing Entertainment Network podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy beverages. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com, and if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We are live on Booze
Dancing.
This
is going to be a lively discussion of a show. Oh, it's going to be.
Jesus, somebody's in rare
form. We are in rare form. Boy, am I. As a Whiskey
Wednesday.
This is
before the drinking. Once the drinking starts.
This is pre-drink. This is pre-gaming. Jesus.
He also
we are live. We are back.
What show? What
we
are you talking
live.
About?
We are back with another episode of What We Watch When We Drink on the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network. We are live on YouTube, stream. Where else we are? Stream.
Shall I say this? Shall I say this?
Yeah, you should say it. I never remember.
We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Instagram.
Wow, that's a lot of places. We are live from coast to coast. From the longest undefended border to the Baja California border and all parts in between, because we all love whiskey. And if you're not liking whiskey, then you need to strap on your big boy and big girl boots and saddle up, because we're drinking whiskey. We've got another
howdy.
And Mikey's got a howdy shirt. We've got a Hello Kitty shirt. We've got another great episode. What We Watch When We Drink. Just a reminder, we're the unofficial podcast of Unbearable Heat, which is a trademark term, I believe, which if you are near the home office in the Philadelphia tri-state area, like my partners, you completely understand. It's the dog days of summer, baby. And baby, it's hot. It's really hot. How hot is it?
It's so hot.
The cows are giving evaporated milk. That's hot. Hey now. All right. Before we get rolling,
it's just good classic joke construction.
Uh-huh. That's right. Before we get rolling, and don't forget to check. I want to remind everybody: don't forget to check out Mike and G-Lo at the Murder Table, where they do all kinds of reviews of whiskey, beer, whatever they got on the table. You'll be glad you watched on Instagram and all those same places. Wherever we can watch all those antics of my friends here. Gentlemen, how are we?
We are okay.
I don't even know what episode number this is.
Just
64, I think.
64? 64, is that right?
Maybe.
Wow, look at that. Sounds about right. We're in the 60s. Literally, I am in the 60s. Okay, so we doing okay? We're good. We're ready to do some drinking and talking TV.
Yeah, some of us are ready to do more drinking than others who are willing to talk about TV.
So let's start with what we're going to be drinking tonight.
Yes.
Just in general, we are going to be sampling through three different single malts from the Loch Lea Distillery in Scotland, the Lowlands. Courtesy of our friends at Impex Beverages. Thank you to Sam Filmus and company for sending some samples to us our way. Much appreciated. And we will hop into one of those in a moment. And we will be talking about a TV show that Mike absolutely loved. It's on Netflix, starring Shane Gillis.
Yes.
Is that his name? Shane Gillis? Called Tires, that has second season just dropped recently. And we'll be whacking through that thing shortly. At least two of us will.
Second season should drop like a Russian oligarch.
Hey now! All right. Before we hop into the show and talk TV a bit, we are going to have some whiskey.
Let's do that. We're going to do the first one, right? The
Hour
of Barley.
The Loch Lea R Barley Single Malt, which Angie can tell us a little bit about it while we're pouring.
Sure. This is the Our Barley by Loch Lea Distillery, John Campbell's masterpiece. Our Barley is our ongoing core single malt expression, which sits alongside our seasonal limited editions. our master blender has carefully honed this recipe. And with a combination of bourbon, sherry, and STR casks, there is a whole new level of depth and complexity to the final whiskey, bottled at 46% ABV.
Now, very nice.
One thing, John Campbell has since left, right? Luckily.
He has left. It's very odd. I was looking at the website. It definitely says there's a picture of him as part of the team. It mentions that he had sort of moved on. He's here with a distiller in California now. So I don't know that he has any part of Luckily anymore. Hard to tell. Maybe a cheers?
Cheers.
All right. One, two, three.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're going to go and see what our whiff brings up.
It smells delightful.
Barley single malt. Now, I have a box.
A little hot, a little woody.
Woody? Hey, Woody.
Like Toy Story?
Toy Story.
Yeah, it smells like a pull string toy. Yeah,
there's a snake in my boots. There's a snake in my boot. By the way, somebody poisoned the water hole.
And then they drank out of the water hole, and then they wrote the episodes of Tires.
Damn, ouch. That's cold. Sorry, Shane.
Cold.
Two of us love you. What is all that? What's all the time?
All right. I was looking up Impex's website to compare what they said about the Locklea compared to what the Locklea website says.
Oh,
to see if it's just the same or not. Kind of curious. It does say John Campbell's masterpiece there too. Okay, just checking.
All right.
Ooh, I love it. Love the smell.
I think it's very fruity. Very, very fruity.
But it does definitely...
Apples and pears and peaches. Oh, my.
Smell a little hot.
Mm-hmm. I'm going.
If it can smell hot. Me too.
Which you wouldn't expect for 46%.
It's got a little. It's got a little sting to it.
Little sting to it. Little lemony. Little tart.
That's good.
Or is that maybe the alcohol?
First sip is a little harsh. Second sip.
Yep.
Much nicer.
Yep. It's our first day of the evening. For those scoring at home.
Oh, that's very nice.
And
I like that. We've had this before, though. I think we've sampled this before.
We might have.
Because we've gotten Locklea samples in the past. And I know we did these before because we got the other ones. What was that other series? I forget.
I'm not sure if it was the R Barley though, because
we've had the R Barley. We've definitely had
it. One thing I read said that they released this for in January of 2025.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So maybe it's an annual release.
We maybe had a different version, but I know we did the other one, sowing and fallow.
Yes, correct. The ones about the different crops, first crop, second crop, third crop, which I think is just...
Yeah.
This is special.
Yeah, and they are pretty much, and I won't say organic, but farm to table kind of a distillery. They grow their own barley, and I believe they malt it on site, I think. And then they... do all the other stuff that you make to make whiskey, distillation and all. And they have a very long fermentation, which I'm sure came from John's efforts.
Yeah.
He was there. All right, I'm going for a second bite.
I'm already rinsing my glass. I was a little too fast.
Ooh, I like that second one. Oh my gosh.
First really one, you got to push past all the stuff.
Right.
Second one, delicious.
Yeah, you got to prime the pump. Yeah. You know,
delicious.
It's like an old car. It's got a choke. You know, you got
a little. It has a little bit more of a finish than I thought, and it's a little hotter than the 46%.
It's good
at first, yeah. But then when you go back to it, I think it's a little more mellow.
No, I just mean in terms of the finish, you wouldn't expect a finish like that for just 46.
Our last podcast, we went through three different Nicknians. Is that what the pronunciation was? And I think we liked that the first one of that series, that of that week, that podcast, because maybe the first two because they were good session whiskeys. You could just sit with that and drink a fair amount of it, probably. Yep. And I think this would be the same. This would be a good just hang out and on your porch in front of the sunshine and have a glass or two, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Good stuff.
Just two glasses? Just, what am I killing, 20 minutes? Just two glasses?
You can start with two and you can go wherever you want to go. You knock yourself all out. Right. There, buddy. Literally.
Knock yourself out. Okay. So our TV watching tonight, what we watch when we drink. By the way, and you can drop any kind of notes or comments in the chats, wherever you're chatting, wherever you're watching, and we'll be happy to say hi, answer your questions, comment, etc. Okay, so we watched a series on Netflix we talked about called Tires. It's just last year was, I think, the first season. It was a short season, I believe.
What's the factoids?
Like six. Yeah, give me a sec. Five or six episodes, and then the second season came out, and it's much longer. And it started Shane Gillis. So, Ange, what do you got in terms of a general summary of the play? Of
okay.
The show?
Yeah. Let's see. Season one aired on. I mean, not aired. Dropped on Netflix, May 23rd, 2024. It was six episodes. Season two, June 5th, 2025. So a month and a half ago. And it's 12 episodes. Don't know the budget. Don't know the box office. IMDb score, 7.6. Rotten Tomatoes, 56%. And that's all I got. Let's see. Taglines. Will, an unqualified heir, attempts to turn his auto repair business around while enduring torment from his now employee cousin, Shane. The creators are Steve Gerben, who plays Will, Shane Gillis, who plays Shane, and John McKeever. All episodes are directed by John McKeever, and the writers are Steve Gerben, Shane Gillis, John McKeever, and a few other folks. So that's all I got.
Who's John McKeever?
He is actually one of the mechanics at the Belmont store.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's in a couple of episodes.
Okay.
So, let's
see. A friend of mine turned me on to this last season, and it was a quick, easy watch. And the first thing I thought of was the show, and you told me about Bookie.
Oh, yeah, Bookie.
Right? Which was a quick, maybe these were a little longer episodes, but it's only five or six episodes in a season. It was an easy watch. I laughed. I cried. And I was done. And I didn't know who any of these people were. I didn't know nothing about it. It was fun. And I told you about it. Then you hopped onto it, I think.
Yep.
So, and now, unbeknownst to me, this Shane Gillis is a guy. He's someone in the news a lot. He just hosted the ESPYs. He was on Saturday Night Live. Is that right? He was a cast member on Saturday Night Live.
He was supposed to be on Saturday Night Live. And then his past comments came out.
Oh, okay.
They pulled his offer. And then got such a backlash from it that they then had him go on to be a host this past season.
Got it. Okay, so, got it.
I don't know how, like, Saturday Night Live, I was like, you're not good enough to be on the show, but you're on the show. Okay, yeah.
So he's in the, I guess, the, minus the controversial stuff, he's in the hot comedian category at the moment. Yep. And he's got this show that, you know, it's really interesting because it's not, had you guys heard about it before I brought it up?
I'd seen
I
it,
never.
Of course, when you go through it, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I didn't know him. I didn't know the show. I didn't, and I've seen no ads for it. I didn't, nothing. No reviews, nothing last year. So
yeah, I'm
now.
I'm going to doctor tomorrow to have it removed from my cranium. So,
I didn't even see anything about the new season. It was sort of this kind of under the radar kind of show. You know, it's kind of weird. So, Ange, you gave us the summary there. I think that's pretty good. It my first look at it, I thought this the first time, which is it's sort of mockumentary-ish a little bit in the way it's shot. It definitely gives off well, like The Office. It's got those. It's an office sitcom, right? You got people in a workplace sitcom, I think it's funny that the theme song is basically kind of a ripoff of The Office. So I think there may be a dig going on there, that making fun of The Office, maybe, from having the opening credits the same, or the song. Goofy guys, goofy situation. It's in your part of the world, right? Isn't it? Right?
It is. Valley Forge. It is. They're all local guys.
Local. They're all local guys.
I think Steve Gerben is from Bryn Mawr originally.
Oh, okay. The actors are actually from there.
And Shane, I know, went to Westchester University. He's from Pennsylvania.
I think I saw Mechanicsburg.
Mechanicsburg, yeah.
Yeah, so he's relatively close. Where's Mechanicsburg? Is that a little further out?
I don't know.
Towards Harrisburg.
Okay. All right.
Middle of the state. Okay.
So they're local guys. Local-ish.
Yeah. So they use their local flavor to this and created this small setting where it's a small small tire shop, small chain, five or six stores. Will's dad owns it, and Will has come in just, you know, 2 months before to kind of learn the job. Although he's 40 something, right?
I think he's in his 30s.
Mid-30s. In the show. So, right. And then Shane, who's been there working there for quite a while, is his dopey cousin who seems to not have much ambition and just wants to make fun of stuff. And
I'm going
to
say it right now. Right? Ambition is overrated.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's funny. So that is kind of the premise. And then you've got a girl behind the desk, you've got another mechanic or two, and a general manager for the whole chain, Dave. who works at a different store. I believe Dave's that actor is also a stand-up comedian.
Yes,
too, I believe.
There are a lot.
I think I think everyone's a stand-up comedian in this show.
Just about.
At some point. Yep. I think Kayla's a stand-up comedian as well, the actress.
Well, so is one of the Italians, the one guy with.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yes. And there's their next door to their little shop is a used
Andiamo.
Car lot.
Andiamo car
sales. The Andiamo used car sales. Oh. Two guys who are just classic, stereotypical.
Wops. The Wops.
I'm not going to say that.
They call them the Wops.
You can say it.
They call them the Wops on the show. You can say that.
They do. They do call them that, yes.
Which you can't call people now because ICE will show up and take you away if you don't have your
This
paper.
Is true. Wow. Yes, yes, yes.
Will they send me back to Palermo, Sicily? That's all I want to know.
They'll send you back to Philadelphia.
Guantanamo. I've got to Guantanamo.
So that's the basic premise, and it's Will is trying to write the fortunes of this little this tire chain. His dad, though, is trying to get out, trying to retire.
You could relate to dad, can't you?
Oh, sure. And wants to, move on. But Will wants to, come up with a big splash idea. He has great ideas, but not really great about how to make, think them out and then pursue them.
Poor execution on Will's part.
Poor execution, and it gets them in a lot of trouble.
Wow.
The big thing is he's not trying to save the company for any altruistic means. It's just that his dad's given him a lifeline as this is his last job.
And yes.
If the place gets sold, he's obviously got to work. So right. He's trying to come up with the home run. And as you said, he doesn't do well.
Well, you got to keep watching the show.
It's a classic. It's a classic. Office situation, office comedy, where somebody, a new person comes into the building, and there's always some oddity that goes on with them, with a customer or whoever comes in, and more foibles happen. For initial thoughts, Ange, on tires.
Oh, my initial thoughts on the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm like, what?
You're Ange. You're Ange.
You're Ange. Okay.
Sorry.
You're still Ange.
Honestly, the first couple of times I tried to watch it, I put it on late and I kind of fall asleep and I couldn't really get into it. Then I started watching it earlier when I was awake, which we've talked about this many, many times. I have this issue with a lot of shows. And then I really started to enjoy it. But actually, when I really, really started to enjoy it, I started watching it with my son, the oldest. Well, first, the youngest is there. He's on his phone. He's watching. And he's hearing some of the dialogue, which can be a little blue, a little risque.
Very blue.
And he just looks up like, what the hell are they talking about? And then he just like kind of walked away. But the other guy started getting into it. And I actually was like probably halfway through season two. And he started to enjoy it. I'm like, well, I'll start over again. And I started all over again and started back from the beginning and watched it with him. So, but it's just, you know, a bunch of goofy guys. And they, you know, you could see, you know, as the show progresses, you can see that they really like each other. They just like to harass each other all the time. And they're having a good time.
Most definitely.
The show has a lot of heart.
Yeah.
You know, once you get past.
Do you guys see the greater Philadelphia area in the show? Do you feel like you've been in that tire shop or a tire shop similar to that?
Have I been to a shop like that?
Yeah. Where people are kind of, you know.
I mean, I've been to a few tire shops. They don't feel like the sharpest tools in the shed when you go there. You know?
That's kind of where I was going with that.
They don't leave you fearful, though, that your tires aren't going on right like this place.
No.
Well, I don't know about that.
I wonder if they're going out of business.
I don't know about that.
I think it's funny that it's built in that old way where the manager's office has glass and you can see that office from the customer area.
Uh-huh.
So you can see everything that goes on there, and there's no shades, which
it's almost soundproof, so he can't get a hold of anybody.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
So speaking of the place, the fictional Valley Forge Automotive, I have some factoids. The fictional Valley Forge Automotive Center is inspired by a real auto shop, and filming took place primarily in Westchester, Pennsylvania, at Tires Etc. on Gay Street.
Boom. There you go. It's a real place, basically.
It's a real place. It's
so
a real place.
Don't go there is what the gist this is. Like,
well, not when they're filming.
It would be... It'd be crazy to be building a set that has actual, you know, lifts. You know, that would be crazy when you can just go, you know, find a place that has those.
And also thousands of extra tires.
That's right. Yes. We'll come back to that. Mike, what's your opinion on the show? Initial.
Oh, boy. Wait, can I pour a drink first?
You can pour more of the one you already have.
Okay, For shows, one person can be crazy. The whole cast can't be crazy. So to me, this would be like if Seinfeld was four Kramers, that show would suck. If Friends was six Joey Tribbianis, that show would suck. On this show, none of these people seem reasonably believable or anyone that you'd be like, okay, this is the straight guy in it. It's a bunch of people who are just one more incompetent than the last. Even the guy who comes in as the district manager, he's just as incompetent as everybody else is. I just didn't like that. I didn't like that they basically got everybody gets to do stand up. No one gets to be the straight man in this. And
they're all stand up comedians. So
like,
there you go.
I don't want to watch this. Yeah, but Seinfeld's a hell of a comedian. He's also a hell of a straight man in Seinfeld. He's not just cracking jokes the whole time.
It's an interesting perspective.
And I don't think any of the people there are what you would consider actors. And much like Seinfeld, when you watch Seinfeld, I don't necessarily know that he got any better as an actor as it went on, but he surrounded himself with people who were actors. And I don't think these people are particularly good. It's fine. I'm not going to rush out to go watch it ever again. I'm not going to tell people to watch it. And while it's a little blue, it's exceedingly blue. And I don't know that you should get writing credit when basically you didn't write sentences. You just cursed the entire time.
There you go. Well, I think that's a very interesting perspective about not having a straight person.
Yeah.
I don't know that I completely saw that. I think Will is the heart of the show, that character. And he's in essence the straight person and the foil, because everything kind of falls on him from people around him. But he's not a classic straight person, right? I mean,
he's the Michael Scott character. He's the
incompetent,
marginally competent, mostly incompetent character. And then everyone else is some take on that. There isn't any single person in there that you'd be like, okay, I can see this business thriving.
The thought that they're all stand-up comedians trying to act is really interesting, because I think you're right. I think Shane Gillis, there almost feels like there's a fair amount of ad-libbing going on. Like the lines are, they're probably a basis, kind of like in Seinfeld. There's a basis for
a loose sketch.
What?
Yeah.
A little sketchy, yeah, so to speak. Yes. It does feel a little bit like that.
And if worse comes to worse, just punch him in the balls. Because, you know, that's what you do when your cousin works with you. Sure.
I think Shane, at least in season two, I think they do feel more comfortable behind the camera or in front of the camera. I think Shane Gillis definitely seems more actory. I think they don't want it to be too polished because they want it to be more like real world stuff, not acting polished. I would guess that's the basis. I see it a little bit like Letterkenny. What did we talk about, Ange, before?
Right, yeah.
It's still like Shorzy, but Shorzy, the acting's better, I think. Much better. Even though I don't think a lot of those guys are actual actors, you know, actors in a traditional sense. Players. Shorzy,
there's a couple of people who are, you know, the incompetent, zany, you know, madcap character.
You're right.
The entire cast.
This is true. Yeah, that's true.
And they also have a unbelievably attractive women in,
you know. This is true, too. Yes, this is true.
In Sudbury.
My initial thought, again, when I saw it was, I think maybe the NSFW stuff was a little bit, whoa, this is, but it's Netflix, so you can see all kinds of
stuff
on Netflix, right? And I was laughing. And then when I rewatched it, actually just before the second season started, no, just recently this week, it even felt even more at home to me. It felt more comfortable. I wasn't as jarred the second time, but I definitely laughed out loud a lot. And the second season, I think, I don't know, Mike, did you watch the second season?
No,
he's done with five. He's finished. He's not going.
I watched the first five episodes and thought, "Why am I watching the sixth one?"
Well, see, here's the thing, though, because there is like an arc to these stories, like all shows.
There is,
you know, whether it's like Entourage, where it's failure to success. It's the same thing with this one. And they do figure things out.
On my way to the Oasis, I just laid down in the sand and wished for death. If I just crawled a little bit further, I would have got to the water. Is that what you're telling me?
You would have got there eventually.
On top of the fact that Thomas Hayden Church comes in, and he is just so funny.
Why don't we hold off there?
Uh-huh.
And we'll before we start naming names. And we'll circle back, and we will move on to another whiskey from
number two.
Maybe it'll
calm that guy down. A little more booze. Is that what you're saying? Let's get him drunk.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
All right, let's get him
again. Okay. Thank you to Impex Beverages for the samples. Again, this is what we watch when we drink. You're watching it live, hopefully, or you'll see it hear it as a podcast for download in about a week or so. This is the small batch release of what we're doing, the STR cask.
Yes, we're going to do
that. Okay.
Whiskey with a six.
Now we are moving up in numbers here.
We went up 33%.
The big six.
That's pretty good.
I guess the small batch makes sense. Is that accurate, that number? Is it not a mistake on the label?
I'm going to go on the website. Let me take a look here. Which one is this? This is the, no. You know what? The website says 46. Wait, hold on a second. Am I reading the right one? U.S. exclusive small batch. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is the small batch STR, right?
Yeah, small batch release.
It says on the website 46.
It does say 46. I see that too.
Well, let's see what we think it might
be. Let's see what we got.
All right.
We'll split the difference.
Okay. Shall I read a little bit about it?
First. Please do.
Okay. Our small batch bottlings are exclusive to a particular market, in this case, the USA. Import partner Impex Beverages have selected three casks, which were married together to create a truly unique Lochlea expression. This whiskey was first filled into refill bourbon barrels, then double matured in American oak STR casks, a combination never seen from our distillery and never to be repeated. This limited edition is a beautiful snapshot in time, in the progressive journey of Lochlea. So there you go.
Lochlea, by the way, is
what's
the home.
What's STR again?
Shaved, toasted, and recharred.
Recharred.
Right. Okay. So what do they take the barrel, they scrape out the old stuff, then they toast it again?
Correct.
Well, I think they break the planks. So it's just slats at that
Maybe.
Point. And then they shave off the layer, and then they redo everything to it.
Mm.
Toast them and char.
Hmm. It smells light. It smells very nice. Mm-mm-mm.
I was going to add that the Lochlea Distillery is in where the home of Robert Burns,
really?
Famous Scottish poet, was.
Interesting. Yep.
From 1777 through 1784. Mm.
Yes, really. I'm getting a touch of clove on this one. Maybe. Then again, I had shawarma tonight, so it could also be the cumin. I can't tell.
It's pretty light on the nose.
This seems like it's hotter than 46. I went in.
Oh, that's interesting.
But then I'm very delicate, so you know.
You definitely are. No wonder you can't watch this TV.
I'm getting more of those same fruit notes that you were getting with the first one.
It seems a little richer on the nose. Like, you know what I mean? Just like a little more fruitiness to it. But I'm going for a taste.
I don't think 46 is correct.
46? You think it's 46?
I don't know. I think it's a little. You do? Really?
Think it's 60.
Oh, I think it's 60. I think it's more than 46, but hey, what do I know?
Do you?
It definitely
tastes. Ooh,
tastes harder to me.
It's a little puckery.
What do you think, Mike? Drying. I think it's more than very drying. Mike, do you think it's hotter than 46?
I thought it was more than 46.
No, it tastes like 46.
What does their website say? Let me see if I can find it on the website.
It might not be on their website. Though, this is a US exclusive.
US exclusive. We're special.
Like that. It's a little richer than the R barley. It has a little bit more flavor to it. A little bit. I don't think it's as hot. But maybe that's because it was the first drink I had and it was like pretty hot. I'm not sure.
I don't see on here on their website that would suggest it's on the website, especially if it's a US exclusive.
Mm.
So it's not showing up here, I think. Yeah, it's not in the R barley section. It's not a limited release. Well, maybe it's a little. That's that's the farm ones. So it's not, doesn't seem to be on here. Ooh, they have recipes.
Do they?
The pear fizz highball.
Ooh, talk to me.
The orange sherbet highball.
Sherbet.
The salted honey highball.
Is it sherbet or sherbert?
It's sherbet. There's no R. There's no R.
Oh, there's no R. Sherbet. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The pear fizz highball, that could be something to have a warm day. Barley, R barley, pear syrup, lemon, slice of dehydrated pear, and something called apple teaser,
really?
Whatever that guy is.
I could see it working in that, like with the pears or the apples
totally.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
It could work, because this is very, I think it's very fruity.
It's not this specific one, but the R barley one.
Yeah, but I'm saying this is like, I think they're both kind of more on the fruity side than smoky or leathery or cigar or any of that kind of stuff. You know? Mike, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what the difference between the first one and the second one are. Because I went out to Impex and they're saying that this exclusive is also 46%.
Yeah, this one feels...
I thought the R barley is an STR cast too. So,
yeah.
I'm not entirely sure how these two are different unless one uses their barley and one doesn't.
Well, this one just feels a little bit more drying. It's got a little more of a pucker to it.
Yeah.
You know?
A little more.
Yeah, it's definitely more drying. And I still think it's more than 46, but hey, maybe we're wrong. I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought it was more than 46.
I don't know.
It may not be 60.
Hey, Mike, I got one thing to say to you. Keep drinking.
It's a good rule. I'm all for it. Mark, I'm all for it.
Good ice stuff.
You got to know your role. You got to know your role.
I got to set the tone.
You got to set the tone.
Got to set the tone.
Got to set the
gotta
tone.
Got to set the tone.
Got to set the tone.
I think I like the second one more, even though it's a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's more depth to it.
A little bit. It feels a little richer.
Yeah.
First one's good. Don't get me wrong.
Richer, fuller.
Like you said, the first one is the sitting on the porch, you know, which is like, you know, maybe making it a highball or.
This one doesn't feel. Yeah, this one's more of a late nighter.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is also 46%. I might sit on the porch with this one too.
Yeah, I love the mouthfeel.
You're going to fall asleep on the porch. I think you're going to fall asleep on the porch. Is it a screened-in porch?
No.
Mine is not.
Mine is not either.
Yeah. We live with the mosquitoes. Mm. We'll take that. And the coyotes. Sure. We'll just have them come on up. Mosquitoes, coyotes, come on up. Stray dogs, come on up. Cats, come on up.
Sure.
Need some whiskey?
So come on. Very accommodating. Very accommodating guy.
We try to be. You know, we don't put walls up with you like you people in your screen doors. We don't do that.
I do. I like a fortress.
I keep them locked.
The reason.
Yeah, but look who I'm living next to. Wouldn't you put up a wall?
Keep them locked.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Keep out the riff. Hey.
I need like a neighbor hater. You know, like in, what was that? What was the show with Tim Allen? Home Improvement. Wilson? Is that the neighbor, Wilson?
Yeah.
Where you can just peek over the fence?
Yeah, that's right.
Just his eyes? Yeah.
With Pam Anderson. Wasn't she in that? Was she one of the tool time lady? Yeah, she was the tool time lady.
First couple seasons.
That's right.
She was the tool time girl.
Tool time girl, right. Okay. So even though Mike didn't watch season two, we could talk a little about season two, Ange.
Okay.
So the story continues with the place. Will's dad is gonna wants to sell the place. Wants to sell the whole chain.
Well, let's not forget. Season one ends, and Will kind of has his little breakthrough and kind of turns things around.
He's going to He has this idea to sell tires. What's the end of season one? I forgot.
What's his breakthrough? Was with they were doing like the cheap oil changes.
Cheap oil changes, right? $9.99 oil changes,
and
right?
And then they switched it. They had their new marketing.
And then you'll upsell the tires, right? Right. So the season two is. Will befriends a rep from a tire company. And, he's also trying to get a loan at the same time.
He wants to expand.
To expand the company. His dad's not crazy about the concept, but he goes ahead and does it anyway. We don't know if the term $1 million loan comes up. We don't really know how much it is. And Will befriends a tire rep who comes in to sell him tires, who gets him to gives him tickets to go to a trade show, a local tire expo. And he brings cousin Shane with him too, who thinks it's all a big joke. During that one day, he trying to get a discount on tires, he instead buys three thousand crazy tires at the regular price or some slightly discounted price or whatever.
Right.
And even though he doesn't have the loan to pay for it, he takes it on. This is the beginning of a kind of a fun change in the show because we have our first special guest in the show. While they are walking around.
Second, the first episode's got John Lovitz in it.
Oh, that's true. That's true. John Lovitz comes in the first. That's right. That's right. It comes in as a customer who worked for the city.
He's in the sixth episode, and I missed him.
Seventh episode.
Yes, seventh episode.
But it's the beginning of season two.
Yes,
yes.
I think he comes in
the first beginning of the second season. He comes in as a character, just one off episode to get his oil changed or whatever, and it takes forever. And he's just the classic John Lovitz. Has that puts on that crazy dumb kind of.
I want to get something for free.
Free.
For free. You know, everywhere you go, when you get disappointed, you get something for free. I need something for free.
My lumbar.
So business is going really well, and they're handing out bonus checks. And Shane, in his infinite wisdom, decides he's going to buy a gun. So So things.
Yes. Just, yes.
Things don't go.
So
well.
He has a gun, a non-loaded gun in the shop, and comedy ensues, which is falls upon John Lovitz, who gets whacked in the head. Not with a bullet.
I was trying to improve my business. The first thing I'd do would be get rid of Shane.
Exactly. Yes, you would, right? Uh-huh. But it's,
I wouldn't
but
buy
it's
more
a,
tires. I'd get rid of Shane.
It's a family business, and you know this is it. These two cousins work
telling,
together.
I was telling Angelo this earlier. If I could just give you a check and not have you come in every day, would I be better off if I just did that? Here's your check. Please don't come to work ever.
Yes.
Addition by subtraction.
A friend of mine in my industry, we have a little thing that we say that life would be so much better if we didn't have to deal with customers or employees and vendors. You know, if you didn't have to deal with that, your work day would be great, right?
Well, what's the one rule? Never do business with family.
That too.
Never do business with family.
But
unless you're the mob. Angelo's like, I don't understand. It makes sense to do business with
we're
family.
All family. Don't mess with the family business.
This gets to the heart.
To the old country.
Uh-huh. This gets to the heart of the show because there is a family connection to it. And you know, Shane and Will do love each other and they want to do right by each other. So Will is trying to get Shane to kind of elevate himself in life. Wants him to be manager, wants him to try to do management type things. And that's why he brings him to this, he gets to go to this expo. And so Will goes more of, it's a joke. There's this self-help guru that's going to be talking to all the tire guys. And Will
Brock Majors
doesn't really know who he is, but Shane does. Shane's character, he has to see it because it's a big joke. It's like, it's got to be the dumbest thing in the world. All these tire guys think this guy's like, all he cares about is like, you know, lifting weights and selling tires. So they're there for like 15 minutes and Shane says, I got to find a drink. I got to find a bar. So he goes into finds the hotel. It's a hotel bar.
Yeah.
And
well, convention center bar, whatever. Yeah. Hotel bar.
Right. Bar's closed. Can't get a drink. And in walks another special guest. From the tire industry. And?
Vince Vaughn
walks
Vaughn
in.
Doing Vince Vaughn things.
Doing classic Vince things.
He was just
dating
himself.
Vince comes in and convinces this scared bartender to open up at like 11 a.m. instead of 5 p.m. And does the Vince thing and befriends our friend Shane. And Shane is all about trying to go see this
Brock Majors
weightlifter dude, Brock Majors, but there's no tickets available because Will didn't pre-order tickets to the Brock Majors experience. So Vince Vaughn basically gives a little heart to heart to Shane about what do you want to be in life? What do you want to do? You got to go out and go for it. You got to just get out there and do it. And so it kind of pushes him out to the convention space to hit up every tire shop, every tire company booth to find these tickets. Cause that's all he cares about. All he wants is to get free tickets to this Brock Majors thing. And ultimately he doesn't, but he kind of changes a little bit. He kind of puts on the persona of being a manager. He's talking up all the folks to all these different booths. He doesn't get the tickets. But Will finds his tire guy at True Tire and has a long conversation with him. And the guy is not a very good salesperson and he's a real big sale. And Will says, I'll take all these tires. I'm going to take all and get free tickets to this show. Big, big deal, right? And they go to this show and it's actually a really big kind of weird turning point because this Brock Majors guy, he brings people on stage and he embarrasses them. He just bullies them to no end. It's really horrible. And after the show, poor Will's up on the stage, you know, without his shirt on. People are making fun of him.
It's different than every day he's at work with Shane.
It is. This is right.
I don't understand. How could you be more belittled? Is there a way to be belittled?
Because, because he's belittled. Up. You gave up. You weren't there.
He's belittled in front of hundreds of people in an arena or a ballroom on stage.
Shane convinced every employee at the chain that Will drinks an enormous amount of chocolate milk every day. I don't really understand. Like, the guy's rock bottom.
Well, this is pretty bad for poor Will. And Will goes out to the, so they meet up in the bar, Will and Shane, and our boy Vince comes over to see what's up. And they explain, what kind of happened. And Vince just berates. He talks about how bad this guy is, Brock Majors. And Brock Majors is at the bar. And he just humbles him with total Vince Vaughn insults. It's just great. It is so classic. It's just classic Vince Vaughn. And how they got Vince Vaughn to do this was, I don't know, but it was really funny. That was a good episode. I really liked it. It made me think about all the trade shows I've been to too, and all the people walking around, and just it looked so much like my own
life.
They are just awful. The one funny small part of that episode is there's a girl walking around who's got a small business, and she sells air fresheners. And she's almost like a cigarette girl at an old timey cigarette girl. Right. She's got this little thing in front, tray in front of her. She's walking, hey,
yeah, she's
and
she's so got like a, obnoxious.
She's so obnoxious. She's walking around, which usually that's not allowed at trade shows, but that's how she sold her. And at some point, maybe that's where he gets those tickets. Oh, that's where Shane gets the tickets from her.
They're buying like 1,000. Air fresheners.
1,000 air fresheners, yes. Like our custom made air fresheners, right?
Yes.
So that was a turning point. Also in the same couple episodes there, Shane befriends a customer who comes into the shop one day, and he's
Kelly.
Likes her. Kelly. And Kelly's funny and she's cute and
do that thing again. Didn't he do that to the woman in the first season? She got all upset.
Oh, you clicked at me. You clicked at me.
Yeah, I clicked at me. What are you trying to do? Yeah, you know.
Clicked at me. What are you doing?
A little
you
flu is in the back.
So that's the beginning of this weird arc that Shane has with this Kelly, and he hasn't committed to to asking her everything, but he calls her and leaves her a message and. And kind of really wants to see her, but he can't, can't really jump on the case. But Vince Vaughn has given him somewhat backbone a little bit, pep talk, So that's a little bit of season two. And then the big thing is a new character. Actually, a cast member comes in, is Thomas Hayden Church. We all remember Thomas Hayden Church from Wings. Lowell.
And Sideways and Divorce.
That's right. And he comes in as
new guy,
Shane's dad, who is Will's uncle.
Right.
The two older people are.
Will's dad's brother, right?
Will's dad's brother. And
Shane's dad.
He's Mr. Big Business. He's coming to town. He's trying to get right his relationship with Shane, which has never been great. Shane doesn't trust him. Shane doesn't like him. He thinks he belittles him. And he's just there to, be Shane's best friend, be his dad finally. And Shane doesn't buy out any of it. Well, it goes a little farther and the company's going to be sold. And the $1 million loan that Will thought he was going to get goes away because dad told the bank, we don't want the loan. I don't want to have a big loan. I'm going to retire. I need a big loan around my neck.
Which I don't blame him.
No, not at all. But that means Shane, and he's going to try to sell the company to somebody. And Shane and Will are going to be out of jobs or be absorbed by this, whatever company buys them. And Will doesn't want to let it go. And he calls up his uncle, Thomas Hayden Church. And who looks very? How would you describe his look? And
Buffalo Bill, Cody kind of thing.
Westerny.
Yes, but more like but a little slick, a little
70s porn little star. Like
Pat Riley-ish from the 70s. Yes. Oh, that's how I was thinking of. Yeah, definitely. And Thomas Hayden Church puts him through. What's his name? I think his name is Phil. Isn't his
name Phil? Yeah.
Phil tries to, you know, put Will through the test, see how serious he is about, you know, getting into business with him. And ultimately what he decides is he's going to buy the company. And that way he'll always be locked into Shane. Shane will always have a job. And he's taken companies and turned them upside down and turned them over and made them profitable. And so that's another turning point in the show, that his dad sells the company to his brother. And now it's up to Will and Shane to kind of make the, and he gives them a little percentage of the company too, Phil. And now it's up to them to kind of figure out this $3,000, 3,000 tire purchase. And they just, and Will comes up with the idea to sell them at cost, get people in, and then upcharge them on all the other stuff, right? Upsell them.
So and it's great. He made the disaster for the first episode, but now he's rolled it out to all the locations.
Right. And that's just, it's like things are really flying. Well, without giving too much away, you know, there's an issue with that. And it gets a little, it goes upside down. And then you can see that's how it's going to be in this. They're going to be ups with the company, and there's going to be downs with the company. There's going to be great ideas, and then they fall apart. That's how it's going to be. And that's the big one there. And then towards the end of the season, they can't sustain this for various reasons, and it doesn't look great until another great idea comes up.
Another Hail Mary.
Yeah. Which another Hail Mary that comes up at the end of the season.
Bikini Car Wash?
No.
That was in season one.
Is
that season one?
That's not an annual.
That's season one, right.
But that's where they figured out upselling the tires, though, right?
That's kind of not an annual.
That's right. That was upselling the tires. Yes. So again, it's an office comedy, and this is like trying to keep these two cousins working. And Will has the gumption to keep going and keep fighting. And Shane kind of has a change in season two to want to be more, want more for this place, and want the place to kind of thrive. And regardless of
better man.
He does want to be a better man. Yeah. And Thomas Hayden Church, I think, is a really good addition. I mean, didn't realize it was going to be – he's terrible?
No, he's terrible.
Hysterical.
Hysterical.
Yes.
He's so good.
He is really good. And he's swarmy. He's –
his delivery is just so good.
He's so funny. He is so good. He's, you know, I have wings in my head, and so I can't get that character out of my head, which is basically the same as Woody Harrelson in Cheers, right?
Right.
And he's you know, a much more mature actor. It's 30, 40 years from then, and he just does this. It's done so well. It's great. It reminds me a little bit how, am I wrong in this? Another Philly kind of show, when Danny DeVito came on to
It's Always Sunny.
It's Always Sunny. Yeah.
Yeah. He was this mature actor who came in with these kids.
Adds something to everybody else. They all elevate their game.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And I think there is an elevation because of him. And he's in, what do you think, Ange, the last five episodes?
He's in like at least half a season. More than
half a season. Yeah.
Yeah. Does he show I think he's really good. He shows up after the convention, tire convention.
It's definitely after that. Yeah,
he's in 9 episodes. It says,
"Wow!" So he's really good. Yeah, and he's doing it.
You know what? That makes
for
sense
for business reasons.
That's right, it's about 9 episodes. Family reasons, because he shows up before they go to the convention. Because he is why Shane screwed up with the girlfriend, because he told the
that's
girl
right
that he was trying to hook up with the with one of the waitresses.
That's right,
at a bar.
You're right. So. Yes, yeah, poor Shane, obviously, he didn't have a great relationship with his dad, and his dad was always traveling and with work and, you know, buying companies and selling companies, blah, blah, blah. And now he's trying to right that wrong, and Shane just doesn't buy it. He just doesn't want any part of it, and he doesn't trust his dad. And But maybe he's turning in the second season somewhere along the way. And he trusts, and Thomas Hayden Church sees it as two things. It's a business to take on, and also to keep his nephew and son working and keep his son close to him. So not a horrible
thing. Spin it off and just sell it. Be done with it.
Well, his consultant wants to do that exactly towards the end of the second season.
You would think the Hello Kitty shirt would put him in a good mood.
Get rid of it.
But no.
Howdy.
It's Howdy Kitty, not Hello Howdy. Kitty.
Whatever.
For those not on. What's
where'd he go?
I lost my camera.
He lost his camera.
It's the T-shirt.
He made fun of Hello Kitty.
I was trying to pull it down and I lost the camera.
There you go. He's back.
Now you lost your background. Oh, there you go.
Oh, look at that.
Howdy.
Mike sporting the Howdy Kitty.
Very nice. Where are their heads behind you?
Yeah, whose heads are those behind you?
What's behind you? What are those heads?
Mike is in his.
What the hell is that?
What is that?
That's your
children. Wendy made pillows out of them.
Your kids.
She made pillows out of them.
So she can come down here and just start laying
in. Are they punching bags?
No.
She won't hit her children. She can hit the pillow.
No. Well, she'll hit something.
This isn't. She's gonna hit you. This isn't great for a podcast, but it's really good for a video cast. This is really good.
Well, there is a video version of this. Go to YouTube. It is a video. Go to Booze Dancing TV.
That's right. You can watch the video of this and see Mike's.
Why you would want to, I don't know, but you can.
You can, and you can see Mike's heads, kids. Mike's kids' heads. That's hard.
That's right.
Okay, so season two, I thought improved.
It did.
In terms of a story and improving the heart of the story, improved, because I think there was more depth to it all. I thought it was equally as funny. The comedy stuff is just as funny or funnier. There is some very, very funny stuff going on in season two. And again, I don't know if us all, some of it's written, but I think a lot of it might be not so scripted. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. You want a couple factoids?
Sure. You got some more?
Yeah, I got a couple. So the show was initially a passion project for comedian Shane Gillis. He self-funded and produced the first season before Netflix acquired the rights for distribution. Netflix announced its renewal for a second season before the series even aired. The series is based on the Tires pilot episode, which can be seen on YouTube. And I actually watched it. It was shot in 2019.
Oh, wow. It's a totally different. Well, it's not like
season. Thing, but it's like a little 10-minute, I guess,
skit,
if you want, whatever you want to call it.
Got it.
Let's see. Again, we know about the comedians.
That's 10 minutes
too
long, by the way.
Oh, shut it. Lovitz, Ron White. Ron White is also in season two.
Now, see, I saw Ron White was on the show. I would love to see Ron White. I think he's hysterical.
Well, then maybe you guys should keep going. He was the NASCAR driver.
Oh, my God. That's a great episode.
See, maybe you should keep going, Mike.
That is a very funny episode.
I don't have faith.
You got to have faith like George Michael.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. And then there is Stavros Halkias. He's Dave.
Oh, my God.
I just like the name Stavros. I think that's great.
And he's a comedian, right?
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy. And then the one guy, one of the Andiamo boys, the taller guy, Andrew Schultz. He's also a comedian.
I think they both are.
Yes. There's a lot of stand-ups. So we've got
a stand-up on there.
Should we?
Which I think.
Third whiskey?
Which I think goes. Yeah, but I think it goes back to what Michael said about maybe the acting abilities. You know, these aren't like classically trained actors at all, and they're just probably doing this somewhat to, not maybe the first time, but some of these guys probably the first time doing some acting, which I think is fine. Yes, we'll pause here, and we're going to come back in a short second after we talk about our third whiskey from Locklea. Which is the Cask Strength Series Batch 2 Single Malt. And what you got on this one?
All right. Cask Strength Batch 2 is the second in a series of annual limited edition bottlings. Each batch will be bottled straight from the cask without water, like trying samples from the warehouse itself. Cask Strength Batch 2 showcases something entirely new from Locklea, as production director John Campbell has selected a combination of Oloroso Sherry STR and PX casks from our warehouse that work particularly well at higher strength, amplifying our signature fruit, nut, and cereal flavors. This whiskey opens with, I won't go into the notes. That's it. So a combination of Oloroso Sherry STR and PX casks, 60% ABV. It's there a six. Go. This is the whiskey with a six that Mike has been dying.
It doesn't smell any dying hotter than the other ones, though.
It's what?
It doesn't smell any hotter than the other ones.
Ah, see? It's maturity. Oh, I don't know. I just got a huge waft of vapors on this one. Oh, that's a hot one.
Am I wrong? Chocolatey? Cocoa-y?
Coconutty? No.
Coconutty?
That's Mike. Coconutty.
I'm getting like a...
Bosco.
Chocolate-covered cherries.
Bosco.
I like Bosco.
Bosco. The cocoa bean. He's weak for the cocoa bean.
What is the little chocolate?
Cacao nibs?
Rice. No, it's a cereal. It's a cereal. What's that?
Oh, I don't know. Cocoa Puffs?
Or Cocoa Pebbles?
Cocoa Puffs. Maybe Cocoa Puffs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Haven't had that in a long time. We have to buy a box.
All right. I'm trying to get in this one, but it's hot. It's like
it's a little bit hot. That's a nose burner.
It's got some, yeah.
Keep your mouths open while you're smelling this stuff. But there's a lot of interesting aromas in there.
It's dark too. This one's really, really dark.
Not as hot as I expected.
No, but the flavors are really good on this one.
Oh boy.
Not that the other two were bad, but this one's particularly delightful.
And I am still getting that chocolate note of some sort.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. A little bit of cocoa, a little bit of like Hershey's cocoa powder. Maybe a little dry cocoa powder.
I was really expecting like a big burst of alcohol, but I didn't get that.
Don't get me wrong. I like the sherry in it. I think it's pretty good.
That's really nice.
The sherry's going to give you your dark fruits, the stone fruits, and raisins and prunes and those kinds of things.
It's not just a sherry bomb. It just gives a little extra character.
No. No. I definitely don't see it as a sherry bomb.
No.
Maybe. It's
nice.
The influence is more on the smell, I think, than the flavor.
That might be my favorite one.
It's really good.
That is very good. They have gotten a little bit better. They've gotten like marginally better as we've gone along.
Definitely not something you sit outside to drink all day, though.
No,
this is not a session whiskey.
Unless you're working at a place like Tires, then you're
cool. Yeah, but you don't want to get Ron White drunk. That's all I'm going to say. Do not give Ron White whiskey.
Wow, there's almost a funkiness to it.
You are breaking up like nobody's business.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
There's almost a funkiness to this one. Almost like a higher proof Jamaican rum, a little bit. Maybe.
I could see that. This one's really good, though. This is a lot richer in flavor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I think, really from the sherry, right?
I'm curious to know how long each of these are in the casks.
I don't know.
They are not.
I'm just curious.
They don't do any age statements. Yeah.
This certainly seems like it's a little older than the last one, which seemed like it was a little older than the last one. So.
Where was this one on? So I'm looking for it myself. This is batch two, right? Batch two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole lot going on here with the Oloroso, STR, and PX.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Wow. I like it. Well, they actually do. On Impex's website, they have a five-year-old. They actually have an age statement whiskey. But they're only 5 years. I think they're only 5 years old, right? I think they're about...
That's how old the story is. That is really, really good. I like that. Yeah, that's, I think, my favorite of the three.
I think it might be.
See, we can agree about things.
We can. That's the beautiful thing about this podcast, which is what we watch when we drink. We've gone through three Locklea whiskeys that came from the lowlands of Scotland, a young small distillery. And is this the one? I think that the story was a pig farm. Am I right? They converted it to an agricultural farm, a growing farm.
I don't know.
I think. Okay. So why don't we wrap up our chat on tires? And if we want, we can chat about some other TV stuff we'd like. So, Andrew, I don't think we have to ask Mike what he thought. We know what he thought, right? But we would be excited about watching season 3.
Absolutely. Correct. I want to see where it goes.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm the same way. I want to see if they can keep up the humor level while also increasing the storyline. Right?
Yes.
You could burn those tires to the ground. They'd burn for a long period of time. And we know that.
There hasn't been a...
Because we lost a large portion of our highway.
Twice.
Fire twice.
Wasn't it twice?
Well, once to a tire.
Oh, that's fire, right.
To a gas fire.
But, yeah. Oh, okay.
This is the I-95 thing, right?
Correct. It melted the highway.
Yeah, right.
You should not store tires underneath a major highway.
Well, you know, you could store them. Just don't light them on fire.
Who knew?
Yeah, that lighting on the fire is a problem.
I think it's the lighting on fire.
You know,
fire is a problem.
It's a funny prop for a show. Whereas, you know, you might have a show that works at an ice cream in an ice cream parlor, and you're dealing with ice cream and cones and little cups. These are tires. They're using real tires. They're very large. They're big. They fall. And there's one episode with two kids that come in from a vocational school for the day. And they have to work there for one day, and they're just like total screw-ups. And they're throwing
right
tires
in.
Around.
So they're
knocking them over.
Will Jr. and Shane Jr.
What were their names? I can't remember.
That's a pretty funny episode too. Yeah,
that's
good.
That's a good one. Teach those boys a lesson. Scare them straight.
You're gonna talk me into watching season 2, and then I'm gonna hate you both.
You should do it.
Finish season 1 and go into season 2.
I'm going to
the NASCAR thing is. The NASCAR episode is pretty funny.
Yeah, Ron White's pretty
Ron
good.
White.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. And just Thomas Hayden Church is really, really, Thomas really Hayden good. Church. And the Vince Vaughn thing just kind of, whoa,
yeah.
where did Vince Vaughn come from? That was just weird. There's actually a fair amount of character actors that people you've seen before other places in,
right.
Like at the tire convention. And,
well, one of the guys that worked in the shops is the veterinarian in Better Call Saul.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
Right? He was the bad vet.
Funny.
Call Saul, so they
yeah.
That guy, too.
Yep.
Wonder if they got a different casting person to come in and start pulling their regular crew.
Well, they got more money.
More Netflix money. Uncle Ted gave him some more cash. So Tires on Netflix, seasons 1 and 2 are out.
So what would we give it like a 66% on Rotten Booze?
I go higher than that.
Because we're 2 out of 3.
Highly as you want. I will abstain.
It was 50. So 50, it's 55 on Rotten Tomatoes, right?
Yeah.
We're higher than that.
Oh,
we're like
I'm
way
just picking
higher.
The average.
Way,
we got 3
way
people
higher.
Here, so.
Yeah, oh, that's true. That's
the
true.
Entire that's time we've been doing this, I just going out to Rotten Tomatoes to get them zeros. Their score's going way
there
down.
There you go.
Way down.
Hey, Shane, and what's the other actor's name? Will's name?
Oh, Steve Gerben.
Steve and Shane, if you're out there, you're going to listen to this and you hear us, we'd love to have you on. Come on, talk.
I'd love to have you on.
I'll even drive out to Westchester. I will drive out to Westchester. A lot of good bars.
There you go. We got two guys from your part of the world. Come on, on the show one day. We'll chat.
What?
Plus, I should probably apologize now because I'm a bot, basically. I've driven your Rotten Tomato score. You're in the low teens now. We've taken you out.
So let's see. We loved it. It was funny. It was good. Can't wait to watch it again. And it makes me like things like this, like Shorzy and
Letterkenny
even more because I like these Letterkenny to these shows where there's a small cast and they want to, you know, you're really getting inside of a little community. I like that. So we got some time here. Does anyone have any?
The show about nothing is what the best part is. It's a show about a tire store.
It is.
It's a show about nothing.
It is.
It's Seinfeld. Back out. It's a show about nothing.
Well, but it's more than that because I think it's a show about nothing. But here you've actually got a family story. There's a.
I just mean that there's no. At the end of the day, there's no life-threatening things going on here. It's just
no, not at all. It's not a at fun all. Little show. We're not trying to save the world here. We're not curing cancer. Not at all. Not at all. Did anyone have anything else they wanted to bring up on in the TV world that they've seen lately that they want to mention? Movies, TV. They went to see the new Iron Man. Superman. No Superman.
No.
Go ahead. What do you watch? What do you wear?
I saw Superman. It was very good.
There you go. Somebody saw it.
Saw Superman is very good.
And somebody liked it. That's nice.
I think having James Gunn come over to DC is going to have a huge impact because the show was actually fun and we didn't have to go through the long backstory short to see, you know, him going in his pod and being sent by his parents and
Jor-El.
We didn't have to see Batman's parents die again and we didn't have to see this, that, and the other. And much like, you know, the guys we were just talking about with tires, they're all friends and get all their friends to be able to show with them. James Gunn has his usual cast of characters, and Nathan Fillion plays Guy Gardner,
the
Green Lantern.
Yeah,
and he is. And Nathan Fillion asks, "What's he like?" And he's like, "Oh, he's a horrible person. You'd never want to be friends with him." But when it really matters, he comes in and he performs. That's the only saving grace of the character. And Nathan Fillion played him perfectly. And the guy has the worst haircut ever. Probably since No Country for Old Men. That's probably the worst haircut since No Country for Old Men.
Really? You mean Javier Bardem?
Everybody's hair. Yeah, the Mo Howard haircut.
Oh.
Nathan Fillion is sporting the worst bowl cut. It's terrible.
Really?
But it was a lot of fun.
Oh my God! I saw a picture of it.
And I can see how he's going to turn this around, similar to how he was able to introduce a bunch of other characters on the Marvel side with the Guardians of the Galaxy and some of the other things he did. I thought it was very good, and the guy playing Superman was very believable as Superman.
I just saw an interview heard an interview with Nathan Fillion last week, and apparently he was a big comic book kid.
He's been jockeying to play this character for years. And he's almost too old at this point to play the character. But he's been trying to get someone to put him in the movie as Guy Gardner. And people were like, why would anyone pick the Guy Gardner Green Lantern to be in the movie? Like, there's the other Green Lanterns are better. He's like, no, I really want to play this guy. And he was good. Mrs. Maisel, Rachel.
Yes, Rachel Brosnahan. She was
really good as. Lois Lane.
Yeah.
She's really good.
And there's a dog. There's a dog.
Crypto. Yeah.
Crypto the dog.
So I thought it was very good. I can see them turning around the franchise. And it wasn't just Superman. They introduced a few other characters to be part of the Justice League kind of thing, similar to how Marvel has the Avengers. They're going to introduce people to be in this. So it was a nice introductory kind of toehold into what's going to happen next.
I'm glad you like something.
And at no point in time did I want to go next door and kill anyone for telling me to watch something. So that was good.
There you go. Perfect. Angie, you watch anything lately or see anything lately that you
I've been watching Stick on Apple.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the golf one?
Golf.
Yeah, Owen Wilson and Mark Maron. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's okay. It's you know. A little, what do you want to call it? Ted Lasso-y, but it's very good. It's kind of fun. I like Mark Maron. He's actually really good on this.
Is it Owen Wilson playing Owen Wilson?
Owen Wilson being Owen Wilson. It's like the higher.
It's like Vince Vaughn and Vince Vaughn.
You got Owen Wilson doing his Owen Wilson thing.
I'm looking for Shakespeare. I'd have hired Shakespeare if I wanted Shakespeare. Right.
Judy Greer's in it. Judy Greer's great.
She's great.
Who does she
play? Fantastic. She plays Owen Wilson's ex-wife.
Oh, nice.
And she's very good. And Mark Maron, I think, has really gotten really good as an actor. I think he's gotten a lot better.
Who does he play in it?
I think he wants to
do more. He plays like his buddy. He plays his caddy.
Okay.
He's like his good friend and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's always that backstory with some trauma on both parts, and they're all trying to get through it. So, but it's good. It's good. Like, you know, because Owen Wilson plays like a golfer who was on the pro tour, and he was actually very good, but he has like a breakdown.
Right.
And kind of just like loses it. And then he sees like this young protege, you know, kind of like, you know, Chubbs Peterson and Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, yeah.
So he's got the kid who's really good, but he doesn't want to play, and kind of convinces him to join the tour, and the mom, and all this stuff. So it's good.
That's Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out.
Yes.
This week, right? I think.
Yeah.
That, but it's coming out to it's coming to streaming. It's going right to Netflix.
Oh, is it going right to Netflix?
Right. Yeah,
and I heard Adam Sandler this morning on Dan Patrick talking about
it. Well, they gave him so much money, I think it all has to go to Netflix first, I suppose.
And he wasn't opposed to the next question of Happy Gilmore 3.
Really?
Not opposed to it.
That's so surprising, because all he does is make sequels and crank them out as fast as possible again.
This is true, yeah. Yeah.
So when I'm watching Stick, and I've gone back and watching bits and pieces and random episodes of Twin Peaks, the original.
Oh, yeah, sure. You said that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been quite the experience.
So I don't understand, because why is there a push for that right now? Is it some anniversary? Is it like 30 years or something right now?
You know what? Actually, it is about 35 years.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why, as my daughter said, she saw a big ad.
Well, also, don't forget David Lynch just passed away, too.
True.
So maybe
Where do you watch? Where is it on? Is it on Netflix?
It's on Paramount.
Or maybe Paramount just got the streaming rights to it or
they've
something.
They've had it. No, I think they've maybe had it.
They've had it. Okay.
Well, because Showtime had the return.
Right.
So I guess it's probably is in. They prayed both. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Yeah, we watched the end of Ted Lasso. So we crammed through the whole.
Prepping up for the new episode, the new stuff coming.
And now you're ready for the new stuff.
We're working on a fourth season. Yeah. But that's a ways away, right? Because I think they started shooting it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 2026.
Yeah. I just saw this thing that what's that other Netflix show comes out every few years? About the demon. Oh, come on. Oh, my gosh.
Stranger Things.
Thank you. Stranger Things. This is going to be the fifth season coming.
I gave up after the second, so.
Well, let's say it's 10 episodes per season. It's going to be 50 episodes that took something like 8 years or 9 years to put out. It's taken that long to put 5 seasons of TV on, get it out.
It's taken so long she married Bon Jovi's son.
That's right. It's so weird. It is just strange how TV is, you know, the streamers just kind of all that money. They can take their time. No one's rushing to do stuff. And like the old days.
And they're just trying to slot the next 6 episodes of something in. Not, you know, we need room for 22 episodes and the reruns and everything. That's what we got.
Yes. Yeah. We can crank it out. Can stuff reality TV in there in between or whatever. Yeah. I watched 2 little things. Which one was an older, and I don't know how I found it, but it was on, I think, Prime, I think. It was a series with David Tennant, so it's Scottish, so that's always a good thing because we like Scotland. And it's called Dead Water Fell. It's about a little town where there is a fire and 3 little kids die, and they're David Tennant's kids. And his wife has some mental illness issues. And you follow the story about the whodunit of what happened. And the woman, best friend of the wife who passed away, was from, Angie, I think I told you this. What was it? She was in Prime Suspect, the show with the other Doctor Who.
Oh, I know. On Apple. The one that was on Apple. Yeah.
Yeah. What was her name?
I know. We did an episode on it. I can't remember.
Something Cush.
Yeah.
What's her actress's name?
No,
she was great. And the other thing I watched, which got a bit of fanfare, came out a few weeks ago on Netflix, called The Eternaut. It's based on an Argentinian comic from the 1950s,
right?
Like a post-apocalyptic thing where I guess it's Buenos Aires. I'm not sure where it is. All of a sudden, it just starts getting really cold and starts snowing in the middle of summer. And anyone that's outside that gets touched by the snow dies immediately. And so this one group of people,
you should be so lucky. Had,
they get together to play cards, these guys, and they're in one person's house and his wife is there. And they see this happening and they don't know, they're afraid to go outside. And two of the people, or one of the guys who's kind of the star, is a middle-aged man. He wants to find his daughter, and his daughter is out there somewhere. And he's got to figure out how to get outside and not get touched by snow and to find his daughter. So it's a bit of a, I think I heard it's already going to be made a second season. I really enjoyed it. It was really good. And it's not just the zombie thing. It's a little different. Really, I think I heard about it from The Watch, our other TV podcast. And those guys really liked it. So I took a chance. It was like six episodes also. Very good. Except it's in Spanish. So that's about all I've been watching. I mean, the normal stuff. A lot of baseball. That's about it.
Yeah.
So we are in the thick of baseball, midseason baseball, and football is here. Training camp started this week. We can, and before you know it, hockey and basketball will be back. And
when's business. The trade deadline for baseball?
31st, yeah, I think, of the month.
Okay.
Yeah. So next week. Okay. Right.
Dodgers are in first, so, right?
Barely holding on. They won this afternoon.
Phillies are in first also, or no?
I think the Phillies still in the first place, but
Phillies are going to lose today probably, so they might be out now.
Yep,
out of first. That's all right.
It's been a tough couple weeks for the Dodgers.
There's only what 60 games injuries. Left. There's only 70 games left.
It's going fast. Yeah, it's going fast. Fall is around the corner. So, any last thoughts on anything, gents? We gotta say thank you to our friends at Locklea and at Impex for these wonderful samples. We definitely enjoy them all. Anything else, guys?
No, that's it. Yeah. We'll get something together.
All right.
We'll be back in a couple weeks.
We'll be back in a couple weeks, and this will be out as a podcast next week. Download and listen at your leisure. And thanks to everyone for tuning in tonight, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Why should play us out there, bud?
All righty. Cheers, boys.
Cheers. Shalasha.
If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.